2, verses 20 through 21. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, and I ask that you would breathe life into these words, that as I so many times pray, that I would be that sail in the wind as your Spirit would move and lead and guide me. God, thank you for your precious word and your precious people. And I pray now that you, as the good shepherd, would feed your sheep. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we need some more room? I don't know if we have any more. We've got two seats up front here if somebody needs them. And a couple scattered. One over there. A couple over there. So we got two here and one there and one or two there. So. Well, I'm going to let you know this is not a very good message. I want to set the bar low. Because one thing I won't miss is weeping before 130 people on a Sunday. I'm not going to miss that, all right? But this, the reason I say the bar is low on this one is this message, a couple months ago, the Lord laid on my heart to actually preach my very last message, basically the same message as the very first message that I preached here. So this message goes back to October 10th, 2004. So I hope I got better at preaching, because I looked at these notes and I went, how did these people learn anything about God in 20 years here? So here we go. So I've got the bar nice and low, and we'll go on from there. We know that there are many things that are inevitable, but three of them are this: death, taxes, and change. The Lord never changes, but He is the agent of change. Take a look at God's Word. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. And then finally, the verse that we had for today, Daniel chapter 2, 20 through 21. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. I remember doing this actually during the first sermon. I brought in a leaf that was in the midst of change. And what a miracle this is, isn't it? I mean, it happens in front of our eyes every fall. And we look at this leaf and we realize that it is changing. It is still a leaf. The tree it came from is still there. But it's changing. Something's different. Something's happening. Well, this leaf represents La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. We are in the midst of a God-ordained change or transition, whatever term you want to use, to a new exciting season. Something new God is doing, and He's preparing the way. The definition for transition is this: the process of changing or passing from one state, form, subject, or place to another. And that's what's happening at La Crescent Free. There's a transition that's happening, and it's God-ordained, just as it is ordained that the leaves are changing. This is all part of God's plan. Now, when you read the Bible, there's a lot of significant transitions within the Bible. You could see with Abraham, he goes from Canaan, from Haran to Canaan, and then all of a sudden the people leave and go from Canaan to Egypt, and then eventually from Egypt back to Canaan, back and forth. But probably the most significant transition in the Bible is the transition from the wilderness of discipline. If you remember, the 12 came back and said, 10 of them said, run away, the people in this land are so huge, so you know they're going to destroy us. And two of them, Caleb and Joshua, came back and said, no, let's go. If God wants us to take it, we're going to go take it. And so what happened is that they were in the wilderness because they didn't believe for 40 years. And what we see here, what I want to share today is this transition from the wilderness of discipline into the promised land. The promised land. It was significant because of the shift in leadership that happened. Because what occurred was Moses had led the people for 40 years. And now God had chosen someone else. Moses' time was up. And so Joshua was going to now take over. So you not only go from a difference from the wilderness to Canaan, but from the primary leadership of Moses into the leadership of Joshua. Take a look at God's word. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. And the death of Moses, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. It's such a significant shift when you start diving a little deeper into God's word. You see that in the wilderness, Israel lived by God's miraculous provision. God was doing miracles daily to help them survive. And what happened is that they move into the promised land, and now Israel has to walk by faith. There's a shift. There's a change that happens in these chapters that we read. We see that this wasn't just a random picture either. Did you know that in these verses you're hidden in the pages? Because what we see here is that this wasn't just God leading, God done with Moses in this desert of wilderness, and now all of a sudden Joshua is taking over and they're going into the promised land. What this is this is a foreshadowing. You know, we went through a series called Route 66, and we looked for Christ in every book because he's all over Scripture from the very first verse to the very last verse. He's the Alpha and the Omega, as I preached last week. That's a better message than this week, just so you know. But he's the Alpha and he's the Omega, and what we find is that this transition is a picture of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture of the old covenant, Moses, the law being fulfilled, and the new covenant, which we celebrated today, being instituted. That's what the picture is here. It's not just a historical shift or a record of Israel moving around in certain places. This is a picture in advance of what Christ was going to do for us as people lost in the wilderness, needing someone to save us. We know that Moses represents the law. That's how we know this. The law of Moses, right? The Ten Commandments. That's what we see. Moses represented the law. And Joshua was God's provision of salvation. That's what we see here. The law was going to be fulfilled. And it was going to be done through Christ. Why did he need to do that? Because the law says that in order to spend eternity in heaven, you have to be perfect. You could never have sinned once in your entire life in thought, word, or deed, ever. That was what the law demanded. Why is that demanded? Because God is holy. He's perfect. And he can't have sinners in his presence. So we were wandering in a wilderness with no hope out. That's what the law represented. But the law had a purpose. It was to teach us that we couldn't do it. That we needed someone to do it for us. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. And that's why Christ came. A picture of Joshua. That's why Jesus came. He came and he met the requirements of the law. He was God in the flesh. If you ever go to a church that questions the virgin birth or that Jesus wasn't fully God or fully man, you need to leave. Because Jesus was fully God and fully man. And he came to earth and he lived the sinless life that was required by the law. In other words, he met the requirements for us. So he lives without sin in thought, word, or deed. And he goes to the cross and he is punished for sin that wasn't his, because God is just. You see, God can't just let people into heaven. You know, I kind of like that Dan guy. He's fairly good most of the time, but, you know, I still know all the secret junk. But he's kind of, okay, I'll let him in. God didn't play favorites. He didn't decide, well, I'm just going to forget this person's sins and let them in heaven. But God is just. So he had to punish all sin. And he did so for all who would receive the gift of salvation. Their sins were punished in Christ. So your sins, if you're a believer today, were punished in Jesus. He went to the cross and he was punished for the sin of all who would believe. And then when you, by God's grace alone, not earning it or working for it, but just God's grace, you receive that gift of salvation, as we like to say here, it's God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not your works. If you failed in the past, guess what? There's forgiveness. And when you receive that gift of salvation, we call it here, the great exchange happened. It's a wonderful exchange. What happened is that your sins were counted as unto Christ, and so he was punished for them. But Christ's righteousness was imputed to you. What does that mean? It's as if you had lived that perfect life, that you met the requirements to spend eternity in heaven. Well, you didn't. Jesus did it for you. But when you receive that gift of salvation, then this great exchange happens. And here's the good news. When that exchange happens, it's not temporary. It's not temporary. You don't get adopted, and then you don't get, then you get rejected, and then you get adopted again. When you receive that gift of salvation, it's there. You're adopted immediately, and you're part of the family. If you're struggling today, it's been a while since you've chased after Jesus, come back. Be the prodigal son. Come back. Come back. You're part of the family. Walk in holiness. And you see, this picture is happening right here in these pages where Moses passes on, and all of a sudden Joshua is coming forward. Did you know this? That Joshua's original name was Hosea, which means salvation. Take a look at God's word. You don't have to listen to me. Numbers 13:16. These were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua. There you go. Moses changed his name. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And finally, 1 Corinthians 11:25. The cup that we celebrated today, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. See, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. And the law does its job where it shows us our need for a Savior. And then when we receive that gift by God's grace, then what it does is it shows us what it looks like to walk holy. We can't meet it perfectly. We never will be able to. But Christ did it for us. So Moses changed Hosea's name to Joshua, which means this: the Lord saves, the Lord gives victory. And do you have any idea what the Greek form of Joshua is? Jesus. Isn't that cool? You see how far ahead God is on all of our, in all of our lives? In all of our lives. Wow. So what we find is this transition. Many things were going to pass away with Moses. Certain things were going to be done. The glory cloud would be no more. There would not be a pillar of fire leading and guiding them. Every morning when they got up, there wouldn't be manna there. It was done. Certain things were ended because God was doing a new work. You know, but it's difficult to let go of the past, isn't it? It's hard to let go of the past and step out onto new ground. We like the past. It's comfortable. We know what to expect, right? Hey, but Moses always did it this way, right? You'd be tempted, but Dan always, it doesn't matter. God's doing a new work. We want to hold on to the past so many times. We need to learn from the past. We need to take the lessons that we had in the past and take them and listen to them. But we can't live in the past. If you keep living with looking through the rearview mirror, you're going to crash your car. Right? You can't do that. No rearview mirror living. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. And don't idolize it. Take a look at God's Word. Deuteronomy 34, 5 through 7. Boy, I'm all over the Word, isn't I, today? So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his birth burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. In Philippians 3, 13 through 15, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. You know, we still don't exactly know where Moses is buried. You ever ask yourself this question? Why? Why didn't God tell us? Why didn't God tell the people of Israel? I think I know why. This is my guess, right? Because they would do then what we would do now. They would run over to his tomb, and they would worship him. They would make it a shrine. And that is not what Moses would have wanted. He wouldn't want that. We do that today, don't we? We make preachers the celebrities. We idolize them. And God in his wisdom just kind of buried Moses somewhere so people wouldn't go running around trying to find him and, you know, dig up his bones and sell them. Hey, I got an actual fragment of Moses' bone here. And then everybody goes, I bid $100 and $200, you know. God in his grace hid him. We need to remember and honor the past, but to live in the present. And to look forward to the future. The end of one chapter allows the beginning of another glorious chapter of God working in and through his people. Right? I'm not done. I'm done here. This chapter is done. And those of you that know me, I'm done when I die. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. All right? We're all servants of the Lord. We're all ministers of the Lord. Everyone in this room. I'm just the one he called to preach up here for 20 years. Okay? But we're all servants of the Lord. And, you know, that's true for La Crescent Free too. We're just ending one chapter, and God is beginning another. He's writing a new chapter for his people as we stand in awe of who God is, not who a man is standing in front of someone, but rather what God is in the midst of doing. What God was going to do is this. The same God who had brought his people through the Red Sea, was about to bring his people through the Jordan River to the Promised Land. He used Moses for the first. He was going to use Joshua for the second. And you see, one of the things that great leaders will understand in the church of God, in his church, is this, that the greatest Christian leaders are only servants. We're simply the glove on the hand of the living God. That's what we are. Take a look at God's Word. Matthew 23, 11 through 12. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. What an upside-down kingdom. What an upside-down kingdom, isn't it? Wow. The greatest of you shall be servant. That's not what we read in the business books, is it? I mean, you got to have all these gifts, and God knows I don't have them. You got to qualify and do this, 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 and this, and then they're a great leader because they can do this. And yet God's word, in his kingdom, things are different. He says, the greatest of you shall be servant of all. I remember when Audrey Gilmore stepped away from youth ministry. This is the very first time when I started ministry, way back in 84, I think. And we put this on her plaque that we made. And it said, the greatest of you shall be servant of all. And we had all the pictures of the students. And that's really what it's about, isn't it? The kingdom of God. It's about being a servant. It's about being humble. It's about doing those things that people don't see. And that's okay. The greatest of you shall be servant of all. Because you see, the Lord doesn't need anyone or anything to accomplish anything in our lives. He's not in need of anything. Who can give the Lord counsel, as we sang? No one. He holds the universe together. So what does he need from me? What does he need from you? Nothing. He can accomplish all of his will without us. But this incredible God, in his wisdom, has chosen to use people to accomplish his will. And it's not just preachers. It's every believer. He chose you. And he chose you for a purpose, to use your life to glorify his name, whatever that might be, whatever it might be. That's why you're chosen, to bring glory and honor to God. He chooses people for his glory. And that's what we see. Moses' task was completed, so God chose Joshua to continue his work. That's just the way it worked. Now, I don't know if you know about, if you've ever thought about looking at ages of people. When you get older, you start worrying about age, right? You know, when you're 30, like 50-year-old person, man, they're old, right? Then you get to be 50 and you think, well, 50 ain't that old. 70's kind of old, right? Then you get to be 65 like I am and you think, well, 90's kind of old. Everything else is, it all changes, right? But it's good sometimes to look at age and take a look at it and see what's happening. Because Moses was 80 years old when he led Israel out of Egypt. 80 years old. He dies when he's 120. He's just getting going at 80 years old. Joshua was somewhere between 70 and 80 years old when he led the people into the promised land across the Jordan. 70 to 80 years old. These old boys are just getting started. So I'm figuring I got a few good years left in me, right? And this is a challenge to the classic Christians. I call you classic Christians. You know, seasoned saints sound so churchy, right? I'm a car guy. This isn't gray hair. This is chrome. That's what this is. This is chrome. Because I am a classic Christian. I'm not a seasoned saint. I hate that, but that's just me. I'm sure some of you really like that, but I don't like it. I'm a classic Christian. And those of you that are classic Christians, I want to give you a challenge. Do not put yourself out to pasture. You old people, you know what that means. Young people are saying, what in the world is that guy talking about? Put yourself out to pasture? Don't pull yourself out. God has given you years of wisdom. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like anybody wants to listen to that. But God has still granted that to you. And so use what God has done in your life and do not pull out. Do not disconnect. Do not retire from the ministry. You didn't retire as a Christian, so you shouldn't be retiring as a servant of the Lord. He called you. He equipped you. He's given you years of experience. And this young generation needs you. So stop pulling yourself out and putting yourself to pasture and whining and complaining that everything hurts. I get it. It does hurt. I get it. And it takes you twice as long to do something. I'm good with that. You know, I kind of think sometimes that a little bit of the wisdom we gained maybe gained us a little bit of time to do it a little quicker. So it kind of balances out in the long run. Maybe, I hope. I'm going to find out, right? But I just want to challenge us as older Christians. Stop pulling yourself out of ministry. Stop. And when I say ministry, I'm talking about serving the Lord. I get it. Hey, you're not, probably not going to serve in the nursery, okay? Because we're older and we don't want to get sick all the time. I get that. Because I thought about that. And nursery, and I thought, oh, man, I love those children, but I don't know if I could do the nursery every Sunday. But serve the Lord. He is worthy. He saved you for a purpose. And it isn't just to retire and punch your clock at 65 or whatever it is. Let's go. Let's run to the end. Let's keep living for the glory of God. He never promised that serving Him would be easy. Take a look at God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:2-4. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. That's us. That's all of us. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be costly. Things you used to do quickly, you're not going to do as quickly. But God has called you to glorify His name. So glorify His name. So glorify His name. But understand this. We can get so caught up, you know. We believe that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But then we kind of almost look at our salvation like a loan that we need to pay back. So we got to do the works, right? No, it's a free gift. It's not a loan. It's a gift. It's a gift. And so when we look at this, realize that you don't have to earn your salvation. It's a gift. And God's passion is for you, not the work you do for Him. God's not delighted in me more than He is you. He delights in you because of who you are in Christ. Not what you're doing for Him. He doesn't need you to do anything for Him. That's the point. He doesn't need you to do anything for Him. Yet we delight in walking in obedience to Him. We delight in serving Him because He is our King and He is our friend and He is our Savior. And we do it out of delight, not duty. And that's what the ministry is about. It's not about earning something or whatever. It's about just delighting in Jesus. And why wouldn't we serve such a great King and friend? That's what it is. That's the picture that we see here. And I want you to know that every God-ordained leader needs hidden heroes. Every God-ordained leader needs hidden heroes. I have so many hidden heroes, I'm going to share some of them with you today. Every God-ordained leader needs hidden heroes, people who are not up front, but serve behind the scenes. Now, don't look to the back of the building here, those of you that attend here. Who is running the sound today? And who is running the video? Hidden heroes. I couldn't do my job without them. Hidden heroes are all over the church. They're all over the church. They're behind the scenes people, and many times they're doing the hard, uncomfortable things. And we see that in the Word of God. Take a look. Exodus 17:8-13. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the roof of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. Well, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Who? Hur? I don't know. Went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. We couldn't do that all day. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Hidden heroes. They're all over. Moses had Joshua and many unnamed people. Aaron, we know, is the priest. But who's this other guy? Can you imagine that? His whole life, nobody knew who he was. And then, like, thousands of years later, his name is in the Bible, and a guy named Pastor Dan Crevillion would use it to preach a message? I don't know what else this guy did. I have no idea. But he had a pretty significant impact that day, didn't he? You see, we need hidden heroes. Ryan is going to need hidden heroes just like I did. Ryan is the God-ordained senior pastor of La Crescent Free in the next season. And he needs all kinds of hidden heroes like I needed all kinds of hidden heroes. The LEFC leadership, the elders, need hidden heroes to glorify God. They need you, just like I did. It's so easy to be the person up front and everybody goes, oh, wow, they're this, they're that. We can't do it without the kingdom of God. That's why it's called a body. It's this is not my church. It's Jesus' church. And so he needs you. So I don't know what church you go to because I know we have people visiting, but you need to go get involved. You need to go serve somewhere because you're part of that body and God wants to use you to glorify his name. And I want to say that you need to support Ryan and the elders in prayer. If you're here, wherever, whatever church you go to, support that leadership in prayer and Holy Spirit-led service. Where would God have me? Lord, where would you have me serve? Where would you have me serve? That's the majority of the message. And what I want to do now is I'm kind of old school. And old school is you give honor to whom honor is due. It says that in Romans. And so I want to give honor to some of my hidden heroes throughout all the years of ministry. I'm going to keep it short, somewhat short. 41 years of fruitful ministry that God was able to accomplish through me, which is really quite something if you know me like I know me. Thank you, Leanne. You got it. It is amazing. Anything got done, right? Here at La Crescent Free, you know, I just want to say so many of you have prayed for and prayed with me, and those are the hidden heroes. I especially want to thank those of you that helped, who prayed with me in the pre-service prayers. Every Sunday morning, and the biweekly prayer. Especially Steve Thompson. He's not here today. He's traveling with Julie. I prayed with Steve for 20 years. Isn't that incredible? The first week I got here, I started praying with Steve. And we prayed just last Sunday. Incredible. But I want to thank all my prayer warriors, the elders, past and present. What a bunch of godly men that we have had in leadership here. They have been patient and kind with towards me, and just godly men that have loved Jesus and had an impact in my life. I am who I am today because of all the elders that have poured into my life, have loved me when I haven't been very lovable, kind when I wasn't kind to them, and so it's really incredible what God has done. They are my hidden heroes as well. Worship teams and tech people. You guys bless me so much. I especially like it. Some of you don't know this, but I have fought for 20 years to not tell the worship teams what I'm preaching on. And the reason being, I want to fill you in on this, is because I don't want them to choose the songs based on what I was going to say, but I wanted them to go into prayer and see what God wanted. And they would pray, and then God would lead them in which songs. And I was always amazed. I can't tell you how constantly this happened. That there would be some song coming out of a message that was the exact perfect song for that day. And what that did was that caused me to worship Jesus. Because I thought, wow, I was on target. And they were praying too. And it just caused my worship to deepen. Because I saw the power of God displayed in little things like that. And those of you that attend here, you'd never know which Sundays those were. It wasn't every Sunday. But it was a lot. And so I want to thank the worship teams and the tech people for all of the hidden things that you have done. And all the ministry assistants, men's, women's ministries, VBS, Sunday school youth. And I especially want to thank someone who, no matter what I would ask them to do, they never looked for a reason not to do it. They would always find a reason to do it, and that's Kate Eidecker. You've been here since I've been here, right? She remembered, I think you remembered, that when I first started here, we used to have the soundboard right there, and I used to have to walk down like this while I was preaching and adjust the sound because we didn't have any sound person. Remember that? Wasn't that wild? Wow. Kate has been so faithful in serving in the children's ministry and youth ministry and VBS, so many places. Just what a godly woman. And Brad. Where's Brad? Is he hiding? Right. Where he always sits. when we first came here, my family would come here on Saturday nights. We'd clean the church, we'd get everything set up and do all that kind of stuff. And when Brad came, he just took it all over. And I never had to worry about it. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. Hidden hero. A lot of people don't see it. When I was at Crossfire, I did Crossfire for 10 years, and God blessed me with some godly people to work with. They got saved there, I think. You got saved at Crossfire, didn't you? I had two right-hand men. They were my Joshuas through all the years, and one of them is Derek Bolden. He's my good friend. And godly man he came to Crossfire, put up with me, and then got saved and helped me, and we did a lot of things. Man, we preached the gospel a lot. It's what? That's we all follow somebody, right? Derek Bolden, he's a good friend. He was one of my hidden heroes. And Eric Matty was the other one. Oh, Eric Matty got saved at Crossfire. He is my good friend. Man, you are old. You are old. He comes in to Crossfire as a high schooler, right? God saved, and here we are. Look at what God did in his life, man. He's an elder here. That is a proclamation and a praise to the power of the gospel, isn't it? That's just incredible. God is so good. And Eric is one of my good friends to this day. Boy, what a great thing. I was at First Free for 6 years, and I had a right-hand man that I kind of put a lot on, and that was Mr. Brandon Wilkins back there. Brandon and I go way back, too, and I have to say he's as well one of my good friends. When life gets hard for me and I want to give up, I can't tell you how many times every year, hundreds of times probably every year, God reminds me of Brandon and says, you know what? Brandon is continuing to press on by my grace, and you can too. And so he's an inspiration to me. You always have been, brother. He's one of my hidden heroes for years and years and years. I have another good friend who's been a hidden hero just because he supports me. And he's one of those guys that, okay, I don't know how to put this, but I'm just going to say it. There's some people that are just constantly wanting, needing from you. And there's other people that breathe life into you. You know what I'm saying? Tom is one of those that breathe life into me. His faith is so simple. It's just, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Let's go. And I love that about Tom. He's one of my hidden heroes as well. And I just got a couple more, and then we'll be done. My kids, my children. Wow, my guys. PKs, pastor's kids. That is a tough deal. And honest to goodness, I am saying this, I don't know if I could have been as good of a PK as you guys have been. You know, I'd go home and we'd laugh together, and you know, it was, I could click off and just be dad. And being a PK is a hard deal. We didn't come through unscathed. We still got our challenges. But you know what? I'm proud of you guys, and I love you. And finally, my wife. Right? Ministry is 24/7. You go home, you take it with you. She has heard me just complain. She has seen me in my most godless, ugly places, and she's loved me through them. She has been my support when I was weak. I see the miracle of God bringing two people together for the purpose of being a helpmate. And she is one of those hidden heroes in my life as well. My sweetheart. Every one of you have poured into my life. I want to encourage you to get the ministry report. I wrote it out, and some of you will be, you'll see yourself in there without your name being mentioned, okay? And I was thinking of so many people as I was writing that last ministry report. I put down, initially it was my last earthly ministry report, and Lisa said, that's pretty dramatic, so I changed it. But I don't want to do any of these anymore. I hated doing those things. Okay, here it is. So I put the last earthly ministry report because I know that as a pastor I'll be giving account when I stand before Jesus. So this was my last ministry earthly report, and I just wanted to thank each of you for being used by God in so many different ways. Even people that don't go here, I see some of my children's friends who just mean the world to me. Being here, all the things that we learned through life and all the crazy stuff. But I want to thank each of you for molding me into the man that I am. God used you all, everyone in here, in one way or another, and I appreciate that. Can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And with that, I'm done. I had to give props to the hidden heroes. I had to do it. I had to do it because they never are seen, and I want them to know that I saw them. So let's pray and let's worship the King. Amen. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we stand in awe of you, the work that you do through imperfect people, broken people. So God, we praise you that salvation isn't about earning the right to be called Christian, but receiving the gift of salvation. And I pray that you would show each person in here how you delight over them with joy. Lord, how you save them to glorify your name, and that they would see how much you have and will use them for purposes that are so far beyond what they could imagine. God, do this so that they would glorify your name. God, I pray that you would cause them to grow in a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I pray that you would help them to turn their eyes to the unseen rather than the seen, and that they would give you all the glory, Lord Jesus, because all things are for you and to you and through you. And I pray this in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. And all God's people, my brothers and sisters, said, Amen. Amen.